From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents, and happy Veterans Day. Yes, before I begin the show, I have to pay homage to all of those out there who have served and are serving this unbelievable country of ours. A heartfelt thank you goes out to you and your family. Thank you for keeping us safe and putting your life on the line. We have no idea what you all went through and still go through on a daily basis, and we salute you on this Veterans Day 2013. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, on this November 11, 2013. Hope you all had a beautiful weekend. Monday is our day to catch you up on all of the busy action that took place this weekend. Michigan is looking very vulnerable this past Saturday. The Lions taking over the number one spot. Yes, the number one spot in the NFC North. And the MSU field hockey team becoming champions. Can you believe that? Now, we'll update you on all of that and so much more, folks. Also, want to remind you all that this week we have another great guest on Current Sports TV. Yes, you can be in the TV studio audience this week when I sit down with Ali Easley. He is a boxing trainer and founder of the Help a Willing Kid Foundation. Recording takes place at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday at WKAR Studios on the MSU campus. Now, seats are totally free, but reservations are strongly recommended due to the fact that seating is limited. Now, that's Current Sports with me and guest Ali Easley. To reserve your free seats to be in the TV studio audience, visit WKAR.org. And during that interview, we'll be bringing you a special segment where I actually hop in the ring with Ali. Yes, you don't want to miss it. Again, be in the audience this Wednesday night. Sign up at WKAR.org. Well, let's get to the show. Here are your Current Sports headliners on this Veterans Day, November 11th, 2013. Well, Nebraska's defense made enough stops to seal a 17-13 win over Michigan on Saturday. The Wolverines dashed hopes of earning a Big Ten title for the first time since 2004 with their first loss in 20 home games under Coach Brady Hoke, turning the ball over on downs during their last possession. Now, the Cornhuskers kept their chances alive of returning to the conference championship game. Nebraska can move a big step closer to its goal of beating Legends Division leading MSU, of course, next Saturday at home. Now, Michigan was held to minus 21 yards rushing. Yes, folks, another negative rushing yard day for the Michigan Wolverines. A week after sinking to a school record low of negative 48 yards, of course, to the Spartans. Now, Devin Gardner was sacked seven times. Yes, again, seven times, folks. Second straight game. The Wolverines didn't rush for one first down throughout the entire game. Gardner was 18 of 27 for 196 yards and a touchdown and a five-yard pass to Devin Funchess that tied the game at 10 in the third quarter. But running backs Fitzgerald Toussaint and Derek Green combined for 17 yards, rushing on 17 carries for the Wolverines. A pitiful, just disgraceful effort from the Wolverines. Now, Michigan finished the half trailing 10 to nothing with negative 10 yards rushing. It was the second game in a row that the Wolverines failed to reach those positive rushing yards, as I just said, in the first half, that is, and it didn't get better at halftime, leading to their first loss at home since a Rich Rodriguez-led team got beat by Wisconsin on November 20th of 2010. Man, we'll dive into that game later on. Again, if you want to comment on any of these Current Sports headliners, give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. All right, let's talk MSU hoops really quick. Gary Harris flourished, as expected, scoring 15 of his 20 points in the first half and finishing with a career-high 10 rebounds to help number two Michigan State, Big McNeese State, 98-56 on Friday night in a tune-up for its next game against top-ranked Kentucky tomorrow night. Now, the Spartans, though, were pleasantly surprised by how well Brandon Dawson and Travis Trice played in the season opening route. Dawson scored 12 points, grabbed 12 rebounds, so a double-double for him, one shy of his career high, and he had a career-high 5 assists. Now, Trice had 11 points and a career-high 8 assists. The Spartans now get ready to play number one team in the nation, Kentucky, tomorrow night at the United Center in Chicago, Illinois. We'll talk more about that one coming up on the show. 1-2, folks, a battle of two powerhouse programs. It does not get any better than this. And Tom Izzo spoke to the media after that McNeese State game, addressing that Kentucky game, and he also spoke this afternoon as a prelude to this Kentucky and Michigan State game. And he's ready. He's amped. He said he's the most excited that he's been for a game like this in quite some time, excluding, of course, the Final Four hype when they made it. But, man, Tom Izzo was certainly excited. I'm sure many of you out there are excited to watch that game. I can't wait for it myself. All right, the number 20 Michigan State women's basketball team, they opened the new season with a top 20 battle at Notre Dame, which is ranked 6th and 7th. And depending on what poll you look at, Notre Dame, they played a night at 7 p.m. Now, the Spartans, who were also picked 3rd in the Big Ten, returned 5 of their top 6 scores from last season and opened with two strong offensive performances in the exhibition games. Just complete blowout, folks. MSU begins with a road game for the first time since 2009, and it is the highest-ranked MSU opponent since November 19th, 2010. So again, the Michigan State women's basketball team, they open things up tonight with a battle against Notre Dame. Notre Dame, of course, a pretty good program. They produce Skylar Diggins, who is now in the NBA, WNBA, excuse me, doing her thing. So that is tonight, and we will also have tomorrow. In tomorrow's Current Sports, we invite MSU women's basketball announcer Mo Gerhardt. He will join me on the show to kind of preview the season for the MSU women's team. And, man, it's hoop season already, folks. Exciting stuff. All right, MSU field hockey, big news from them. Michigan State defeated Iowa 3-2 on Sunday afternoon, the Big Ten Tournament Championship, earning the Big Ten's automatic bid into the NCAA tournament. MSU scored 3 unanswered goals to erase a 2-0 halftime deficit and defeat 5th-seeded Iowa to claim the title. How about that? Now, Sunday's win marks Michigan State's first Big Ten title since 2009, and the Spartans are now 4-0 all-time in Big Ten tournament championship games. Now, with the win, MSU earns the Big Ten's automatic bid into the NCAA tournament. It will be the Spartans' first appearance again since 2010 and 9th appearance all-time. Now, the Spartans will host Miami on Wednesday, November 13th, in a play-in game. Now, the NCAA tournament field was announced on Sunday evening. The Spartans, who captured their Big Ten title, their 4th in Big Ten history, they will host a play-in game. Again, that's Wednesday, 2 p.m., against the Redhawks, who downed MSU earlier this season in a non-conference matchup. The winner of that game will go on to play number 2 seed Syracuse on Saturday in the first round. So they have a play-in game, folks. Again, that's Wednesday, 2 p.m. against Miami. They will host Miami. A huge game there. All right, MSU Volleyball Weekend Update. Alyssa Fitter had a career-high 15 kills and added 5 blocks, but number 13 Michigan State fell in 4 sets to Illinois on Saturday, dropping MSU to 19-7 and 8-6 in the Big Ten. Illinois earned its first weekend sweep and improved to .500 on the season at 12-12. They are now tied with MSU with a 8-6 conference mark. Now, the Spartans will be back on the road to wrap up a 4-game road trip next weekend. On Friday, MSU travels to Nebraska for an 8 p.m. Eastern Time match, and then we'll wrap the trip up with a game at Iowa on Saturday. Now, on Friday, also want to note that Michigan State battled back from a 1-0 deficit to take the next 3 sets and defeat Northwestern 3-1 at Welsh Ryan Arena. Now, MSU sweeps the season series with the Wildcats and improves to 19-6 overall and is 8-5 in Big Ten play. Northwestern is now 14-11 and falls to 6-7 in Big Ten play. Corey Meister, also got to give Corey a huge shout-out. She had 24 digs, allowing her to surpass Veronica Morales and become MSU all-time dig leader. Yes, she is now the MSU all-time dig leader, folks, with 1,492 career digs. Meister ranks 22nd all-time in Big Ten, in the entire Big Ten, with at least 7 regular season games remaining in her junior season. So congrats to Corey Meister. All right, Lions and Bears. Calvin Johnson caught a 14-yard touchdown pass from Matthew Stafford with 2:22 left in the game to edge the Bears 21-19 on Sunday. Now, Johnson also had a tie-breaking TD reception in the third, and Reggie Bush rushed for 105 yards. Johnson's 9th touchdown grab of the season was the 63rd of his career, breaking a tie with Herman Moore for the Detroit record. Johnson said afterwards, "To be a part of history for the Lions, that's a big deal." Jay Cutler threw for 250 yards and a touchdown, but injured his left ankle in the second and left the game. When Green Bay lost, the Lions were all alone in first in the division for the first time since the end of Week 5 of the 2005 season. Man, that is a long time. Also, Detroit sweeps Chicago for the first time since 2007 and got their first win in Chicago at Soldier Field since that same time. So unbelievable. The Lions are sitting pretty at the number one spot in the NFC North right now with that win over the Bears. All right, and this Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin story just gets more interesting and more interesting by the day. Miami Dolphin guard Richie Incognito spoke publicly for the first time since the accused bullying allegations of teammate Jonathan Martin. Incognito interviewed with John Fox and admitted that slander text remarks were indeed true, but he said it was part of their friendship. Now, most recently, reports have come out that Incognito's parents were often boisterous at their son's games and when they were growing up in New Jersey. Jim Moore, who coached youth football, when Incognito was a boy, said, quote, "His parents were definitely psychotic. You understand why Richie is the way Richie is." Again, that's coming from his youth football coach, Jim Moore. Again, his parents were psychotic. That's what Jim Moore says. So Moore went also on to say that, quote, "She complained, oh, he punched my kid. She was always whining to the referees." Now, another coach, Joe Casper, told the Post that Incognito's dad was, quote, "a loudmouth on the sidelines." Casper said of Richie Incognito that, quote, "He got pushed around frequently on the football field. At times he'd come back to the sidelines crying. There would be welts all over him. He was getting beat up." Now, the verdict is still unresolved and the investigation continues regarding Incognito and Martin. And if you looked at all at that interview that happened over this past weekend, Incognito said that Jonathan Martin actually would frequently send texts to Incognito saying, you know, "I would murder your family." We'll dive into this. This is an interesting topic always. I feel like we've been talking about this Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin story every single day here on the show, but it's intriguing stuff. We'll talk about it later on the show when Alex Shark joins me. But all right, moving on. The Atlanta Braves, they announced today that they plan to move to Cobb County in 2017. Now, the team will leave Turner Field after their 20-year agreement expires at the end of 2016. Turner Field was originally built as the Centennial Olympic Stadium for the 1996 Summer Olympics. Now, after the Olympics, the venue was reconstructed into Turner Field for baseball, and the Braves began playing in 1997. Now, the team talked about the problems with Turner Field in a statement, saying, "Turner Field is a facility that was built for 3 weeks of use for the Olympics, but has now served us well for nearly 20 years. Now, the issue isn't the Turner Field we play in today, but instead whether or not the venue can remain viable for another 20 to 30 years. If we were to play for additional projects focused on improving the fan experience, the additional cost could exceed, get this, $200 million. Can you believe that? $200 million, folks. Now, the team also referenced problems of accessing to, to major highways, parking, and mass transit. So, again, the Braves announced today that they will move to Cobb County in 2017. And also want to note that Barcelona forward Lionel Messi is sidelined for up to 2 months with a hamstring injury he had on Sunday. Now, Messi came off the field after 21 minutes of the 4-1 win, and had further tests on Monday to determine the severity. Now, after receiving the results, Barcelona said Messi will be absent between 6 and 8 weeks. Now, Barca, they made a statement saying that Messi had suffered a torn muscle in the femoral biceps of his left leg. So it's a left leg injury. The World Player of the Year, who's 26 years old, has suffered from hamstring issues in the past, including twice already this season. All right, well, those are your current sports headliners on this Veterans Day, November 11, 2013. Once again, I just want to salute all of our veterans out there today who have served and those who are still serving this great country of ours. Thank you so much. I mean, it just hits me home because, you know, my uncle actually was a soldier in the Vietnam War. I want to give a huge shout out to my uncle. I love you, man. Send him a text this morning. But yeah, if you want to comment on any of those current sports headliners, give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. I believe we have a call. Mike from Saginaw, how you doing?
How you doing there, Al? I just want to comment about fall and winter sports. There's so much you can do and watch if you're going to get all the time to do it.
I'm trying, man. You know, I'm losing my mind, Mike, right now. There's so much going on. But, yes, you know, I love this time of the year because you got hoops going. You got football going on. I mean, there's so much going on, Mike. But, yeah, I'm going to try. And I'm not Superman, but I'm going to try, man.
All right, I want to ask you about the Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito situation. What is the benefit of Richie Incognito being on television, being interviewed on television, and Jonathan Martin being quiet and don't say anything? What's the benefits to both of them? What you think?
Well, first of all, thanks a lot, Mike, for your call. I'm also joined by Alex Shark right now. And, Alex, you've definitely been chomping at the bit to talk about this subject. You know, it's interesting to me because I said, you know, when this Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin thing popped off, I began to take up for Martin because of, let's be honest here, Incognito's voicemail, you know, using the N-word and using the profanity, saying I'm gonna slap your mother and all this craziness. I'm sitting there like, whoa, that's going beyond, that's crossing the line.
There's no way. There's no way it was a joke.
No way. I mean, that's stuff to cross the line. But you know, it's interesting because, you know, last week when head coach and the teammates of the, you know, who are a part of the Dolphins organization, they came out and every one of those Dolphin teammates stuck up in some way, shape, or form. They stuck up for Richie Incognito. And it made me kind of question, in a way, this whole situation. And it really rubs me the wrong way when you see, you know, Richie Incognito coming out and he's giving his opinion. Why hasn't Jonathan Martin issued a statement yet? I'm not saying I'm taking Incognito's side by no means at all. I think what Richie Incognito did and the voice message he sent Jonathan Martin, totally out of line. That's becoming personal. That's not rookie hazing. That's personal. At the same time, I would definitely love to hear from Jonathan Martin. I think he will come out and say something this week.
Yeah, first of all, he's a victim of his own tears. He's still dealing with that. I think that's why either he hasn't said something yet or he's deciding what to say. Second of all, why you mentioned, his teammates backed up Incognito and none of them backed up Martin. Well, I feel like that's a little bit of a PR thing to do. I mean, you have Jonathan Martin leaving the team, not talking to anyone about it, out of the blue, and you have to pick either Martin or Incognito. Which teammate are you going to choose? Well, you're obviously going to play or pick the teammate that's still playing. You're still going to choose a teammate that's still relevant with the team, in my eyes, Al.
Well, I definitely kind of can see that move as well. We're going to dive on this later on, but, you know, that's a great point you make because I think from a PR move, it was kind of the right move for all the teammates. And I think they did powwow together and say, all right, before we go out here and talk to the media, let's all get on the same page here. Let's back up Richie. You know, he's been with the team longer. This is a rookie. We're talking about Jonathan Martin. And I think this is a move to not let the Dolphins' dirty laundry get totally out there. Of course, we know that rookie hazing goes on each and every season. Rookies get picked on, you know. And you know, from this standpoint, it's looked at for any teammate to do what Jonathan Martin did. And this is just the vibe I'm getting from former players and current players in the NFL, just looking at the statements from when this story broke. It's frowned upon for you know, in things that are supposed to be in-house, you know, a teammate getting picked on or getting, you know, that kind of stuff is not supposed to, the media is not supposed to know about that. And Jonathan Martin going to the media and expressing himself and saying, hey, I got a problem with this, kind of crossed that line of brotherhood, yeah, if
and,
you will.
And that's why something must have happened besides bullying. There must have been something that sent him off edge.
Well, I tell you what, anytime you're talking about slapping my mama and calling me the N-word, that's personal. Yeah. That becomes, that's beyond bullying. That's like, that crosses a new realm of things. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think with a guy like Jonathan Martin, who, you know, I do think, and I will go on the record saying this, I do think Jonathan Martin is, he probably does have some mental issues. You know what I mean? That, you know, some people, and we see bullying even at the elementary level, at the high school level with kids. I mean, if you get picked on for so long, you're going to reach an edge at a certain point. And I think Jonathan Martin kind of reached an edge here where it was like, I can't deal with this anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is it. I gotta talk to somebody. You know, I even heard reports that Jonathan Martin went to Ricky Williams for advice, of all people. Ricky Williams, he goes to advice. But it just shows you the level of desperation he was at.
Yeah. Two football players with checkered pasts and one organization that is basically up in the air. I mean, from the whole quarterback situation to the whole receiver situation that Miami has, they just got too much going on and too many different personalities on that team. So.
Yeah, that's very, very true. But, yeah, we're going to dive into it. Thanks a lot for your call, Mike. Again, if you want to comment on any of these current sports headliners, give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. You also tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Or go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. All right, Alex, well, let's talk about the Lions for a second. The Lions, of course, pull out a pretty big win, considering the stakes that were at risk during that game. Of course, you see that. What is that? Hold on, first of all, Nick Foles, where has he come from? Are you drinking the Kool-Aid on Nick Foles?
Yeah.
I got to ask you.
I might be.
You're drinking the Kool-Aid on Nick Foles. Are you serious?
I don't know, Al. I mean, look. When Nick Foles came out of nowhere, I mean, who do you think was chomping at the bit the most? I mean, what player you think was just, I don't know. I
think when Vic went out, I mean, the entire NFC East, and you know, looking at Dallas, Dallas of course is now tied.
It's pitiful.
You know, I think that entire NFC East would chime in a bit. Well, you know, now Vic is out. Nick Foles isn't that great of a quarterback. I actually picked Nick Foles up when Vic first got injured on my fantasy football team. Alex, he was terrible.
Yeah,
you know, terrible.
What? I'm gonna pick whatever kicker has the best kicking percentage to win, because that's what it's coming to. It's whatever kicker can kick the most field goals. Right. It is. It really is.
I'll tell you what, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid just yet on Nick Foles, even though he is heading incredible past 2 weeks. But let's go back to the Lions now, because
yeah, let's talk
with,
about that
with the Eagles, Nick Foles going off, with the Eagles beating a Aaron Rodgers-less Green Bay Packer team, you now have Detroit sitting atop the NFC North, solo dolo, at 6-3. Let's go back to that game. What were your impressions of that game, Alex?
First of all, my first impression was, how did the Bears not cover Calvin Johnson or double team him on that? On that third down.
Yeah, I don't. You know, and I say this all the time in the red zone. I don't see how. You know, and we saw it last week too. I mean, teams in the red zone against the Lions, I don't know why they do it, but they will just put single coverage on Calvin Johnson in the red zone. I mean, my grandma can make that throw to Calvin Johnson
in
the end zone.
Look, on the last play of the game, if it's the Miami Heat versus the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Lakers have the ball, are you going to go to Kobe Bryant? Of course you are.
Yeah, we know it's
going to
happen.
Are you going
to
go to Calvin
here.
Johnson? Of course you are.
Right, this isn't rocket science.
Yeah,
you
know? It's the same thing.
Right, right. What were your overall thoughts, though, of that game?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is I think the fans of Detroit are going to get a little bit too overhyped with Bush because he had that big game. He had a lot of rushing yards. Mm-hmm. Because he did the same thing against the Bears before. It's only against the Bears he plays consistently well.
Most other games, he
just gets a lot of receptions.
So, why do you think that is so against the Bears?
Man, the only thing I could think of is that I'm not too much of an NFL analyst. I don't follow the Bears that in depth, because I know they picked up a couple linemen this year. On the defensive side of the ball, always consistently a good team. But, I mean, maybe Bush's speed, maybe the Bears are not just more of a speedy defense. is the only thing I could really think of.
Yeah, and if you go back to that last meeting, I mean, Detroit now sweeps Chicago this season in the series. But if you look at that last game, Reggie Bush, he was huge, as you said, Alex. 18 carries, 139 yards, one touchdown. The Lions' defense looked great that game. Cutler actually threw three interceptions. Lions scored 24 straight points. Three touchdowns, actually, Alex, in a span of, get this, 3 minutes. They were rolling that game. I thought in that game, just some overall observations of that game yesterday. I thought the defense made some key stops. If you remember, and you, just going back to Matthew Stafford's overall play, I got to be honest with you here. Matthew Stafford takes a lot of chances out there.
Yeah,
he does. He tries to thread the needle sometimes, and there's no needle to thread.
Hey, only Michigan State quarterbacks would be like that.
But yeah, but looking at Matthew Stafford, sometimes I'm looking at some of the throws he makes, and it's like, whoa. He's lucky.
Yeah.
He dodged a bullet there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It plays out. It's lucky. It's great because he has, you know, the cheat code on his team, Calvin Johnson, of course, who, if you throw it up to Calvin Johnson, you got a very good chance of him making a catch.
Right.
Calvin Johnson, of course, is unbelievable. He was unbelievable that game. The Lions defense, that secondary, still, I'm not impressed.
Yeah. Two quick things. One, regarding Stafford, if you remember, Burleson was rumored to maybe play in this game.
Yeah, it's rumored that he's going to be coming back pretty soon.
Yeah, didn't end up playing. But maybe when Burleson comes back, would he be the X factor to Stafford? Maybe making more throws? Maybe them needing that solid two?
Possibly. Depends because, you know, Nate Burleson, I mean, the man has a broken arm. When he comes back, it's still fully not going to be recovered, but he'll be well enough to go out there and play. How effective he will be, that's yet to be seen because we haven't seen him since, you know, the beginning of the season. But I could see that, you know, if you know, Nate being effective out there. But overall, I thought Matthew Stafford took some very risky chances, some that played out to, of course, the Lions' favor.
Yeah.
But overall, Matthew Stafford has to get better at decision-making, I think.
Yep.
It helps when you got Calvin Johnson, though.
Oh, it does.
It definitely helps when you got Calvin Johnson. Yep. I thought Reggie Bush had a subpar, to say the least, first half. Reggie Bush was kind of non-existent in that first half.
Yeah,
I'm sitting there like, whoa, what is up with Reggie Bush?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he just explodes, which, you know, how that's what Reggie Bush can give you.
Yeah.
I
think maybe they just started to team up more on Johnson. Maybe they started covering him more. Then when Bush started running, they let him loose a little bit, and then boom.
Yeah.
But back to the corner situation, I truly believe, Al, that the only reason the Lions won is because Cutler got hurt. If Cutler was still in the game, I think that he would have thrown for like two or three more touchdowns.
Who, the Bears?
The Bears.
You know what? I'm going to argue the other end of that because if you look at when Cutler went out the game and they brought in Josh McCown,
he did the
McCown
job.
McCown came in and scored a touchdown right off the bat, baby. I'm sitting there like, wait, why hasn't he been in there? I think they rushed Jay Cutler coming back. That's what I think. I don't know if you agree with that, but I think if Josh McCown would have came in the game, let's look at that first drive. Who knows what would have happened?
Because
McCown looked comfortable.
After that touchdown off the back, he didn't score for a while.
Well, I mean, that was near the end of the game anyway.
Right.
Though.
It was that,
you know,
and
mean?
Then a whole break of a quarter, and then at the end of the game, he scored again.
Yeah, but still, I'm wondering why. I think Jay.
Are you on the McCown
Jay Cutler? I might be, to be honest with you, because I'm interested. Looking at that touchdown, that of course the Lions defense did a great job of stopping that two-point conversion. What would the Lions do without that defensive line, Alex? Without that defensive line, who knows where the Lions would be right now? We'd be talking about another terrible season. And Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, those guys came to play. They come to play every single game.
Yeah, and you know what, Al? It's finally the time where Detroit fans have been waiting. If you're listening out there, you're probably saying, oh, thank you. Thank you, Ford family. Thank you, Mayhew. Thank you for drafting two defensive tackles and trading for one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Finally, it's traded off. I think Lions fans should be a little bit more happy with the defensive front now.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's one of the best in the league. Arguably, the best in the league.
Yeah.
Because if you look at, you know, Chicago, who was marching down the field, and all of a sudden, Ndamukong Suh tips the ball, interception, and then you look at that opportunity, go back to the opportunity where, you know, if you go for that two-point conversion, the game is tied. The defensive line steps up not once. They step up once, getting, you know, and then you got the silly penalty, which was, you know, idiotic, to tell you the truth. The helmet-to-helmet, quote-unquote. I mean, what are guys supposed to do? That's another discussion in itself. But then you get that stop. Then, you know, you get that flag, and then, oh, they got another chance. And then Fairley comes through and sacks them. Oh, I mean, like I said, where in the world would the Honolulu Blue be without this defensive line. I have no idea. But, you know, the Lions now are sitting pretty atop the NFC North. What do you expect? They're going to make the playoffs. I'm going to say it right now. The Lions will make the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, if you look at their schedule here on out, it definitely plays to their advantage.
Right.
It looks really, really favorable. If you look now, they have Pittsburgh, not a great team. That's this week, I believe. Then you got Tampa Bay. That's a beatable team.
But hold on.
Green Bay, they don't have Aaron Rodgers.
Hold on.
What's that?
The Lions and Monday Night Football are not friends. Ravens, is that Super Bowl team?
That's the Ravens. I mean,
Giants, Eli's going to come.
No, Giants are done.
Eli and Stafford, the two pretty boys are going to come. They're going to come gunning. And then the Vikings with Peterson. Remember the first game of the season?
But, Alex, looking at these teams right now, Minnesota is definitely beatable. New York is definitely beatable. Philadelphia, I don't think I'm not on the Nick Foles train here fully. The Eagles are beatable. Green Bay, they don't have Aaron Rodgers. If any team, looking at the net, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Philadelphia, Baltimore, New York, and Minnesota, out of all of those teams, the team that has a conceivable notion to possibly beat the Lions here is Green Bay if they have Aaron Rodgers back, and that's still a question mark. The Lions could win out. I can't believe I'm saying it. The Lions can win
out
here.
Seven games, you think 7-0?
I said they could.
No way.
Will they? I don't know. Like I said, will Aaron Rodgers be back on November 28th? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Will he be back on Thanksgiving? I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. But, man. All right, well, let's take a quick break. Again, we're taking your calls throughout this entire show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And, of course, we're honing in on the Lions today. What were your thoughts on the team, and how impressed were you about yesterday's victory over the Bears? 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports will be right back.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Next time on Here and Now, a Veterans Day story about one family in Missouri that lost three boys in World War II. They came home in caskets one by one.
And the image of the father watching his boys come home is pretty extraordinary.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
Every weekday afternoon at 4, All Things Considered keeps you up to date on current events nationally and around the world. I inform you on what's happening at the state and local levels. Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered. Join me as we stay on top of the things that matter to you on All Things Considered, weekdays from 4 until 6 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, we just finished talking about the Lions, but throughout this entire show, we're going to be taking your calls on anything that's on your mind, specifically the Lions and that win over the Bears. The Lions, of course, now sit atop the NFC North alone. Yes, alone. It's been since 2005 I've been able to say that.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
What players do you think came on that team and said, this is the year we're going to be alone?
I know, right? Unbelievable. You better just soak in this week, because who knows what happened in the future. But like I said, I think the Lions can win out. But 517-355-9527, we'll be taking your calls throughout the entire show on the Lions. I believe we have Ray on line one. How you doing, Ray?
Hey.
Welcome to Current Sports.
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How are you?
Hey, thank God for you guys. You humiliating the Wolverines last week. I ain't even been able to call you in, but they got you humiliated again by Nebraska. Nebraska's not very good. If that Martinez guy, is he going to be back? If he ain't, I think you guys should beat him up by two or three touchdowns. But you have lost to him the last 2 years. Is that Martinez guy going to be back for them or what?
Well, we have no idea. I don't know what the injury report is on Taylor Martinez right now, but if he's out this weekend, you might want to chalk at that W right now, Ray.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm hoping Michigan loses all the remaining three games. They got to play at Northwestern, at Iowa, and then Ohio State.
All right, are you surprised that Michigan's, this whole stint these past 2 weeks with them, offensively specifically?
Well, you know what, buddy? They've lost 39 games since they fired me 7 years ago. And God doesn't care about a football game, but he cares about rudeness and common courtesy. David Brandon ought to be embarrassed. He took chocolates and hailed the Victor's ink pens and Bell Martin for 4 or 5 years. Then they sent an attorney after me, revoked my season tickets, and ran me out of town like a criminal. David Brandon, you need to humble yourself and come out of your closet for what you pulled on me down in Michigan.
All right.
I'll never root for him again. Hey, I got one other question for you.
Yeah.
NFL, I like Steve Breston. I used to talk to him after the football games at Michigan when I was working down there 18 years.
Uh-huh.
Never later, Michigan. And he hasn't been picked up by anybody in the last 10 or 11 months. He got picked up by New Orleans. He got cut. But I noticed there's a lot of injuries in the NFL, but they go to the scout teams. Don't they ever pick up these free agents that are setting out there? Because I don't see any of them being picked up since they had the last cuts before the training camps, the season started.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. Well, first of all, thanks, Ray, for your call. I'm not sure. You know anything about Steve Breston?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Let me just say this.
If
you're Devin Hester and you're 5'11", and what? How much does he weigh, under 200? It's got to be.
I can Google it right now.
I don't know. But I know Steve Breston is 6 foot, 185. Because, you know, I'm a big Rivals guy.
Yeah, you are.
So
dead on with that one. Let me double check that. Yeah.
So
you're right.
So I know about Steve Breston.
Well, 189. He's 189.
189, excuse me. The problem with Breston is in the NFL, everybody's as quick as him. In college, he was flying by guys because he was the only guy that can run a 4.3 40.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean, if you compare him to Hester's, probably
Devin's
a good
5'11",
third faster.
Yeah.
A good third faster than Breston. Breston can't stand out in the pros.
That's the thing, man. When you talk about the NFL, when you talk about professional sports.
He's not a receiver. He's a returner.
Right. When you talk about professional sports, I mean, everybody, size-wise and height-wise, you're even keel with everybody. You gotta be a standout, to really open people's eyes and to say, hey, all right, let's give this guy a shot. You know what I mean? And I don't know if Stevie's that type of guy. I don't know. But
yeah,
I haven't heard from him in a while, man. But, all right, well, let's talk Michigan and Nebraska.
Yeah,
really
about Martinez. Ray brought up a good point if Martinez plays or not.
That's a very good point.
They put in Armstrong to beat Michigan. They're back.
First of all, I got to ask you, are you surprised right now how bad this Michigan football team is right now?
It's sad.
I'm surprised. I'm stunned. You know what? And looking at that game against Nebraska, Nebraska is held to negative yardage on the ground again. Devin Gardner is put on his butt 7 times again. It's kind of, I don't know, it kind of took some of that shine off of that MSU game, to tell you the truth, because it's like, I feel like any team in the Big Ten now can just come in and just bully Michigan around.
It's not like Nebraska has Sue. It's not like
right.
Sue 2.0
exactly.
Sitting there.
We all know MSU's defense is great. Don't get me wrong. But it kind of took a little of shine off of that MSU-Michigan game just because Nebraska did the same thing to Devin Gardner this past weekend. The same exact thing. Maybe not as flamboyant in the negative rushing yards, but they were still held to not one first down on the ground. Devin Gardner didn't look great. The offense looked so stagnant. That offensive line isn't an offensive line. It's just a piece of glass. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I got jaundice just watching.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think about Brady Hoke?
Man,
I don't know, man, because now he's treading on thin ice, man.
You think so? I don't know. I don't think he's really that thin. I honestly believe that it's something within the coordinate. If they do anything, they'll do a coordinator thing. Brady Hoke is the Michigan man. He's their guy. He's Dave Brandon's guy that he chose over a ton of
different
prospects.
But I tell you what, if Brady Hoke keeps around the coaching personnel that he has right now around him and they fail next year again, he's done. He's going down. I think what Brady Hoke has to do is he's got to fire some people, to be honest with you. He's got to get the right coaching staff around him. That's the type of move it takes for this team to kind of turn over the leaf and be successful now. If he keeps this same coaching staff around, if they're successful next season, great. Keeps his job. But if they're not, heads will roll, and I think Brady's will be one of them. You know? I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Just waiting. If he makes some changes in his coaching staff, perfect. He did. He made the right move. If he doesn't, this is inexcusable. And you talk about Michigan. This is Michigan here. We talking about.
No, but at the same time, two good teams. Don't count out Nebraska. They're 7-2. State, best defense in the country. So it's really the offense that's losing them the game. I mean, 17 points against Nebraska. State, yeah, they put up 29, one late in the game, more like 22. It's not like they're letting up 30 points a game, anything like that. I mean, besides the Indiana, you know, shoot back and forth, that game, that was wild. But other than that, I honestly think it's really the offensive coordinator or whoever's calling the offensive plays.
Yeah, I mean, it looks bad.
You can't doubt, Greg Madison. You know how much I'm a Greg Madison.
You are huge. You're a Greg Madison guy. But I tell you what, right now, Devin Gardner, you can't put it all on his shoulders, you know, because I feel like that's what a lot of people are doing after that game. They're like, oh, what is going on here? I think that Devin Gardner right now, he's not getting a chance to throw the ball. You know what I mean? Anytime you're getting hurried every time, you know, you hike the football, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, he's just seven times he was sacked again. You know, same thing that Michigan State did to him. Anytime you don't give your quarterback a chance to make a play, you can't put it on his shoulders.
Yeah, no, but Al, you know? here's what I don't get. This is a Michigan offensive line that's very good.
No, they're not. They're showing they're not that good right now. These past 2 weeks, Alex, they have been pitiful.
Al, they have terrible. One of the top first-round picks on
yeah,
their
I don't give a
line.
Crap what pick they were, how big they were recruited. Right now, what I've seen these past 2 days, I'm questioning this Michigan offensive line's toughness.
Al, it's the blitz pass. The receivers aren't running short routes. They're calling long pass plays.
You got to get – if you look at that Michigan State game, Devin Gardner had about 2 to 3 seconds to make a decision, and then he was eating grass. That is inexcusable if you're Michigan, okay? If you're the maize and blue, it's inexcusable, man. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Michigan, of course, has no shot now. Do you think Michigan State is going to come out with this legends?
Yeah, I think they will. I honestly think they will. You know, it's going to be a tough road task at Nebraska, but the schedule had it coming to them all year. Talks at the beginning of the year was that they run it this year.
Yeah, it's very true. I think Michigan State now, you play a Nebraska team where you don't know if Martinez is going to be healthy. They're definitely the favorite. Definitely the favorite without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you will see them playing Ohio State
in
that Big Ten championship game. It's going to be very interesting to see how that all plays out. But, again, we're taking your calls throughout this entire show. If you want to give your opinion on anything we're talking about today, 517-355-9527.
Yeah, Alan, one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Earl's dream, Earl Robinson, the old host of the show, was to always go to a Rose Bowl.
Yeah, it was, man.
And how disappointing would it be if Earl's team makes the Rose Bowl the year after he left?
He's going. I'm making sure Earl Robinson is going to that game, okay? If I had to step back and let him cover the game.
Yeah.
Earl Robinson is going to that game, if they go. Okay. I believe we have Mikeia on line one. How you doing? Hello? Hello? Oh, I think we lost.
I think Earl hung up the phone on him.
No, Earl is going to that game. If they get there, he's got to go, man. He's been waiting, 39 years?
Yeah. I think maybe MSC was just waiting. Maybe they were waiting for him to go. And then...
Why would they be waiting for, if anything, they would be waiting until before he retires, you know what I mean? Shout out to Earl, man. I hope he's doing well. But, all right, let's take a quick break and come right back. We still got tons to talk about. We're going to give you our pick'ems. It's Monday. Pick'em Monday, baby. I'm not trying to sing again. All right, 517-355-9527. You want to call in about anything. We'll be right back.
For Veterans Day, on The Next Fresh Air, we talk with Roy Scranton and Jake Siegel, two veterans from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, about their wartime experiences, and about Fire and Forget, the veterans' anthology of short stories which they co-edited and to which they contributed. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Aaron, was that the guitar version of Beyonce? That was Beyonce just now. Wow. Aaron digs up. Aaron just digs up everything, man. That was the guitar version of Beyonce. All right. Oh, we have a caller on line one. Camille, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Sorry about that earlier. I was just calling. I just wanted to just make 2 points. One about football. I'm a Cowboys fan until forever.
Oh, I am too.
No matter what they are.
Me too.
But I do have to give my props to the Lions. They are doing good. But I just want to say you might want to stick with those Cowboys because you might be singing opera if you choose them. I'm gonna call in and say that you gotta sing opera if you lose choosing the Lions.
Oh man,
you gotta stick with the Cowboys.
First of all, thank you for your call, Camille. But yeah, I definitely.
Ellie, you'll be singing a rodeo.
I'm gonna be singing something, man. If I stick with my Cowboys, I'm a diehard Cowboy fan. You know what I mean? Right. I love the Cowboys, but gosh, they looked bad last night. Oh man! Oh, we still have Camille. I think she had one more thing to say.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to say about the Martin Incognito thing, I was just going to say that I know you guys were saying earlier how, like, the team, like, rally around him. But anytime you hear, like, any of the stories, the Cognito guy, he doesn't really seem like he's, like, really mentally stable. And so it kind of actually will have to raise the question in your mind, like, how many other people have this actually happened to in the Miami Dolphins locker room that's just pretty much taken up for him? Because they didn't leave the team like Martin did. And if he come back, they'll have to end up dealing with him because he don't really seem all that bright. And so I was just, thinking about, like, the stuff that he said about his mom and his daughter, and they were saying that he was supposed to have been toughening Martin up. And so I just wanted to ask you guys the question because you guys seem pretty well put together. How often do somebody say something like that about your mom or your sister and it makes you better at any sport that you're playing? Like, how does that factor into whether or not I'm a good football player or a good basketball player on you threatening my family?
Right.
Now, Camille, did you watch the interview that Richie had with Fox? Did you see that at all?
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
Yeah, I thought that was crazy. I mean, when he did the whole apology thing and things like that, I understand that in a locker room, boys are going to be boys, and sometimes, all due respect, men are going to be boys as well. But
very
honestly,
well put.
Yeah, I don't really find it sincere. I mean, I find that his apology is simply being his apology just to keep your job, because there's sometimes it's just very smart just to go ahead and apologize so that you can keep paying the bills. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm sorry for what I've done or that I'm necessarily going to change.
Hey, thanks a lot, Camille, for your call. Appreciate it. Yeah, she made some pretty valid points. Now, you know, going back, Alex, you have something about?
No.
I mean, going back to that, the whole this Incognito Martin fiasco right now, she brings up a very good point. I mean, I think we live in a troubled society today, Alex. If you look at men. You know what I mean? And you look at this whole rookie hazing and, you know, making fun of the rookies, blah, blah, blah. You look at some of the comments that were made by these Dolphin teammates, you know, where they say that it was looked at as a joke for us to talk about each other's families and to say, I'll kill your family. It was looked at as kind of a joke. And if you look at the Fox interview, which you and I both saw, Incognito talked about Martin sending a text message to Incognito saying, you know, I'm going to murder your family. Like, how is that a joke? There's something wrong with society when you can say something like that and it's looked at as just playing around.
Yeah, isn't that something?
You know what I mean?
And the funny thing is, it seemed like he wasn't even fizzled or bothered by any of the pressure. He wasn't tearing. It just seemed like Camille said, she put it perfectly, that just because you're saying you're sorry doesn't mean it's actually gonna change, or he actually means it. Incognito is literally incognito, and literally right. Just does not have any backing to his rights or any backing to what he's done.
No, not at all, man. It's upsetting. It's disturbing to know that, you know. And I'm very interested to see how other this whole conversation opens the door as to what's going on in other NFL locker rooms.
Isn't that funny? You know? Right after the Riley Cooper, this happens.
Yeah, this happens. I know, right?
Right after.
And, you know, using the N-word. And then I always go back to this because this is probably the most disturbing story to me personally. You know, the use of the N-word and Incognito saying that Incognito saying the teammates were, you know, gave Incognito permission to use that word because he was, quote, more black than Martin. What? Are you kidding? Like I said, this opens up a can of worms, and really, you know, you take a peek into how society is really jacked up at times. In the ignorance that goes on in certain instances, this is really, when it boils down, is just ignorance at the end of the day. And if you look at Incognito, I mean, you know, we talked about it in the current sports headliners, looking at his past, if you will, when he played, you know, youth football. And, you know, it looked like, from reading that, I mean, it looked like he was kind of bullied when he was young, in a way. And you know the saying, bullies, those who are bullied have the potential to become the bully.
Yeah. Now, Al, do you think that the football team standing up will have any effect on the outcome of this case? Do you think that adds anything extra to it?
I think it will. I think in one respect, those teammates sticking up for Richie Incognito just saved his NFL career and allowed him the chance to play another down in this league, I think.
You think he's going
to
play?
I think he will. When you got your teammates vowing for you like that, I think it paints a new picture to his perception, at least from a teammate perspective, that will possibly allow, you know, him to return to the gridiron.
Yeah, and think about that. If the teammates didn't get Incognito's back, then he's gone. If they get his back, Martin still has the opportunity to come back, and Incognito is still safe.
Yeah.
So really, if you're the team, the right move here is to back Incognito.
Yeah, so, I mean, from a PR standpoint, that is a great move because it makes it look like this was just an everyday thing.
It's a no-brainer.
We just do this all the time. This is how we act. And we feel as though Richie is a good guy. We have a caller on line one. How you doing, Mike? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Very good. How about you?
Hey, you guys can't tell me that front office, from GM to coaching staff to probably the owner, knew nothing about this. They're out of their mind. They're trying to cover themselves.
Yeah.
And you can't blame Mark for going after him, whether it's a lawsuit or not. And the NFL should step in and take care of it. And matter of fact, if it's true that the GM said, hey, just go punch him, then the GM should be fired for not taking care of the problem right then and there.
I totally agree with you, Mike. Totally. Do you think the Incognito should play another down in the NFL before I let you go?
If he does, it's sad. It really is. I think that knowing the Dolphins, I'll probably let him, but that's when the NFL needs to step in and say no more. Because this guy, I didn't see the interview, but you can tell the cockiness from him, like he did nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you know what? He shouldn't even be in the league because, from what I understand, that he's had problems in his college days. Am I right? Didn't he go to Nebraska or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
He had a little trouble with that too.
Yeah, everywhere he's been, he's had a paper trail of just problems.
And I mean,
getting into it with coaches, you know, and teammates. He's always known. He's known as a pit bull around anywhere that he goes.
And then if you let him get away with this, he's going to try it again. I can guarantee you that.
There you have it. Hey, thanks a lot, Mike.
Yeah. Yep, thanks.
Thank you.
I don't know if he'll try it again. I don't know if he will. Because I think he's seen how much of a big deal this is blown up to be.
Yeah. I mean, if it gets out again, yeah, I think he's kind of learned his lesson.
The way he was so serious and so consoling.
I mean, you got ABC News talking about this. You got CNN talking about this. You got Fox News talking about this. Yeah. I mean, this is I didn't anticipate this would blow up to be what it is right now. But yeah, I mean, overall, what I think should be done, and you know, going back to Mike bringing up, you know, the coaching personnel who allowed this to happen, and you know, the whole comment about, you know, oh, you should just go ahead and punch Incognito. I mean, it just shows the mindset. And I think the coaching staff knew about it, man. Anytime how do you not know what's going on in your own locker room? You know what I mean? I understand there's a separation to a degree that the players, you know, when the coaches leave a locker room and the players, you know, are, you know, powwowing amongst themselves, who knows what happens in that instance. But at the same time, you know to a degree what's going on in your own locker room, okay?
So they must know who's taking HGH, right?
Not that. I'm talking about just how players are treating other players. Alex, I'm talking about how players are being treated by one another. I don't know if you go home and stick a needle in your vein. I don't know.
It's in the locker room.
That's something totally different.
Some of them take it in the locker room.
But some of them may take it in the locker room. Some of them may go home and do that. I mean, you could take steroids anywhere. But I'm talking about in your locker room,
That's true.
The treatment of players.
Alex Rodriguez, he took him on the streets from his...
He was going to the lab. He was going to, what's his name? Bosch. He was going to Tony Bosch's lab. That's not in the locker room. That's a totally different venue. But I'm talking about players, the way players treat players inside the locker room. The coaching staff knows what's going on. Okay? Don't tell me. Don't give me that. Don't give me that. They know what's going on.
Well, hey, the coaching staff is not at the strip club with Richie incognito. So I wouldn't say always.
I'm talking about in the locker room, though. Whatever they do at the strip club, it's different. But, man, you can see signs, okay?
Okay, yeah.
But, all right. Let's get to picks real quick, Alex. I believe you have a boatload of picks for us. I'm not trying to sing, man.
Jam-packed. It's a time to be a Detroit sports fan if you want to watch a lot of games. Okay, first off, we've got Pistons at the Trailblazers tonight.
Yep.
This is a totally different Trailblazers team, man.
It is. I think this is a pretty big week for the Pistons because, you know, you're coming off the – and I was very surprised that they gave OKC a little run on Friday. Yeah, yeah. You know, OKC's only trip to the Palace this season. But I think this is a key week for the Pistons to show that this isn't the same old Piston team we've seen in the past. Let's see how they respond to losing to a big-name team because in the past, you know, we've seen them play bigger names and get blown out in the net. And it seems as though they're still licking their wounds for about 2 to 3 games after that. Pistons win tonight, though.
Pistons tonight? Okay. I don't know. This Trailblazer team's tough, man. I like Damon a lot.
Do you?
He's a good player, man.
He's solid.
I don't know. I'll go with the Pistons, though. And then, so we got two more Pistons games. Two big games. Pistons and Warriors, the new Iguodala.
Yeah.
I mean, Jay Smith.
The Warriors are great.
The guy that I personally thought the Pistons were going to get. I thought they were going to get Igu. So now you got Igu and Smith together tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
The bash of who should have got more money.
Yeah, you know what? I love the red, white, and blue, but Golden State is good. You got Klay Thompson, you got Curry.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go on and on. This team is—they're deep. I'm going with the Warriors in that game.
Warriors. All right. I'm going to say the Pistons steal that one.
Do you?
But Pistons at Lakers Sunday. I think the Lakers are going to win.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
A Kobe Bryant-less Lakers team.
Yeah, I think they're going to surprise.
I'm going with the Pistons, man.
Pistons on Sunday?
Yep.
They always have a tough time in L.A.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. The ATP Barclays Championship, Nadal and Djokovic once again heating up.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the 39th time they've met.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna go.
This can go anywhere.
Give me Djokovic.
You're going to take Djokovic? I'm going to take Djokovic, too.
Okay.
I think this is.
Always a battle. With
he always those two. No. He always blows it against Nadal. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think this time he's gonna do it. He's pretty good at ATP. I think he'll do it.
They own grass, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And that's his strength. Yeah. So. Okay. Let's go with MSU and Kentucky. This is pretty much a recruiting battle too.
And we're gonna dive into MSU Kentucky in more depth. We didn't get to it today because you know so much going on in sports.
We might have time. We have two picks left. Might touch
we got 3 minutes. I don't think. You know, I'm a jabbermouth, but I'm going with MSU. You want to score on this one too?
Yeah,
I'm going to go MSU 78, Kentucky 71.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to go Kentucky.
You're going Kentucky.
Yeah. I'm gonna say 75-63.
Hey, what do you think of Calipari's comments? It's unfair to play. It's unfair to play MSU this
year. Oh, yeah, and it's unfair to take 4 or 5 stars and somehow be able to end up with them.
What do you think of that?
I think it's the same with Fitzgerald Toussaint. It's the same jabbermouth. It's a motivational thing. Washington and Detroit in hockey. One hockey game will do it. That's a big game. I mean, they actually have 3 games this week, but I figured Washington was the more highlighted game.
I'm going with, give me the Wings.
What do you think score? Take a score.
2-1.
2-1. I'm going to say Wings 3-2.
Gotcha.
Lastly, we're going to go with MSU and Nebraska. Are they going to go to the Legends and the Big Ten Championship?
Yes, without a doubt. MSU, the only inconsistent thing, you never know what you're getting offensively with Michigan State's football team. I'm going to go Michigan State, though. Give me Michigan State 21-13.
I like that score. I'm going to say MSU 17-10.
Gotcha. Not bad. All right. Well done, Alex. We're going to dive into MSU and Kentucky. Of course, the big game is tomorrow. MSU, Kentucky, number 1 versus number 2. And you think Kentucky has them, huh?
I think they
do,
man.
They're good, man. I mean, they got, like, legit like six, seven guys to go to the league right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Easy. And that's why I don't understand. How can Calipari just say, oh, it's unfair to play MSU? Come on, dude. It's basketball. It's competition, baby.
You can't say that.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. All right, well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Shargan, Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks for all of you out there for tuning in and calling. Really appreciate it. Again, be a part of the Current Sports TV audience this Wednesday night as I sit down with Crown Boxing trainer and founder of the Help a Willing Kid Foundation owner, Ali Easley. Yes, and I'm about to hop in the ring with him in about an hour. This should be interesting, but you don't want to miss that. Be a part of the audience. Sign up for free at WKAR.org. Wednesday night will be that taping. You can listen to Current Sports with me. I'm Martin on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Veterans Day and be easy, people.